Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 152 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about how to make $75,000 in custom tees.
Yeah, just how to make $75,000 a year. I mean, we're going to talk about custom tees, but almost any way that you can do that is a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say just sell one tee
for $75,000.
How to do that? Yeah, you need to get a prince or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You know, I got to say it. You know, you say that like it couldn't happen.
Yeah. Bill Gates might.
Man, I've seen, we've got somebody on our Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group that does these amazing custom denim jackets. And I don't know how much he sells them for, but I'm thinking $2,500.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're pretty amazing.
Kudos to those denim jackets then. I love it.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, this episode was, Mark had an inspiration about this number, and I guess why don't you tell us about the inspiration
sure,
for the 75,000.
Sure. I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes. I read this article about, you know, being middle class in America and what middle class is, and you know, it's a huge range and things like that. But as part of it, they referenced this Princeton University study on happiness and income. Mm-hmm. And what they found was, is that you know, that you are generally happier when you don't have enough money not to worry. And that point for most Americans, it depends on your situation and if you have 57 kids and if you live in Manhattan and you know, all that stuff. But for most Americans, that $75,000 is the inflection point. That once you hit that amount of money, then you know, most people have enough, so they're not worried about money all the time, and that if you have more than that, you're not necessarily any happier. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So at $75,000, you have a lot of in the hierarchy of needs, which a person wrote those.
Maslow.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You eat, shelter. Those are the two that I remember right now.
Yeah.
but food, shelter, comfort, you know, these are some certain things that you desire in life that keep you on a baseline happy, just kind of being human. And I see what you mean. At $75,000, you're definitely going to be paying rent and or a mortgage.
Yep.
You've got enough money to do that. You've got plenty of money to enjoy food. And not eat just to live, but enjoy food probably, right?
Yep.
And you probably have some money to do things that would bring you happiness on different levels, right? Like buy a bicycle to go biking, or be able to do a painting as a hobby, or go fishing, yeah, or whatever.
Or even just not have to worry. Just not have to worry about, you know.
Yeah,
about
that makes a lot of sense. Actually, I like this topic. I like the inspiration behind the topic because happiness has been something that's fascinated me probably since I was 21 years old or 20. So I've read numerous books on it. The Art of Happiness is one that I'd read that I found was pretty interesting.
Dalai Lama.
Yeah. There's,
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Are you? I think I was too for a little while. He unfriended me. There's a documentary called Happy that I'd seen before, but there's numerous ones, and a lot of the concepts that I've learned, not to get too deep into it, but once your basic needs are met as a human, you have a relative good level of happiness. And then anything beyond that doesn't necessarily make you more happy. It might bring you different levels of pleasure or satisfaction, but it also, you know, you know, mo money, mo problems too.
That's great.
Biggie, you know,
I love the range of your quote, Biggie and the Dalai Lama. So, and, the, The other reason I like this $75,000 number is people ask us all the time, how much money can I make? How much money am I going to make? And, you know, we've had a couple of conversations recently on the last two podcasts, one with Vic Patel from Sawgrass, which was a great podcast. I think that was episode 150. And then the last time when we talked about the best t-shirt printer, and that one in particular, you know, you start with the plan of, you know, who your niche market is and what you're going to sell and things like that. And a lot of people would suggest that you should start with how much money you intend to make and work backwards through all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? That's true. I'd read, I mentioned this to you a while ago. I started to read again, Think and Grow Rich.
Oh yeah.
Hey, it's a cool story. It's a good book. I like it. It entertains me. It's entertaining, yeah, for sure. and it's motivational. I think it's a good read. But one of the things that the chapter I just finished recently, he was talking about, if you want to have money, you need to visualize how much money you want to have in how much time. And then once you have that goal, then you start figuring out how can you get there and what things can you do to get there.
Right.
Right. You know, $1 billion tomorrow seems kind of silly, but making $75,000 next year, using $75,000 as the number we're going to talk about today, seems pretty realistic. That's not unattainable for almost anybody, especially when you're talking about what we're talking about, starting your own business.
Yeah. We're going to break down the numbers for you. I do want to point out two important things.
Sure.
And the first one is that when these articles about income, when they talk about your income, they're talking about like if you make a certain number of dollars an hour, if you have a salary that adds up to $75,000 a year. That's not how much is in your paycheck, right? So that's how much you would make, and you've got to subtract taxes and expenses and all of that stuff. So the approach that we're going to take helping you figure this out in the custom t-shirt business is actually more handicapped, because we're going to talk about making $75,000 in profit and how and the math and what you would need to do that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to point out is that it's not all about making that magic number. You know, if you're doing this as a side hustle, if you want to get into the custom t-shirt business, you know, let's say, for example, you are the, you know, really extremely well-paid director of marketing for a big e-commerce brand in the custom apparel space.
You're trying to get me to leave this job.
Like
you're trying to get
like me. Coleman and Company. Let's say that was you, but you wanted to add that extra $20,000 a year or $25,000 a year or 50, you know, or if you are you're a teacher and you want to hit a bigger number, have something to do for the summer, you know, and you want to give yourself a financial goal, you can use what we're talking about or what we're going to talk about to figure out the math and the process of how you might get there, regardless of your goal. We're just going to use 75 grand as a great target.
Yeah. And all these numbers are arbitrary, and somebody who might be looking at this, you know, might have a job where they make $75,000 a year. And but they would prefer to be independent.
Yeah.
You know, not worry, not necessarily have that paycheck and what's left over in the paycheck and work for somebody else, but have your own gig, control, you know, yourself, your own future. A couple other quotes for you. Let's see, we've got the gatekeeper of your own destiny.
Okay.
That is, I like that. Now it's Jack Black. He had said that, Nacho Libre.
Okay, that's a good one.
Gatekeeper of your own destiny. So I think that that's what's great about this is that people can become the gatekeeper of their own destiny, making that money. And that also, you mentioned profits before, made me think of another quote, Chris Rock, when he was talking about when he got his paycheck and how much taxes they took out, and he said he got check jacked.
You know, okay, gotcha.
He didn't pay taxes, they took taxes. taxes.
All right. Yeah. So I think what I've got to recommend here is that instead of a gate, you install a slide. I think it's there's no gate. It's just a runway up to a slide.
We're going to talk about a bunch of different numbers here and how to get there and things you can do. And like Mark said, we're going to use these numbers as a goal. We're going to talk about t-shirts because that's the topic we chose to talk about. But you might have different numbers. You might have different profit levels. You might have different goals and you might be selling something different. You might be talking about selling mugs or mouse pads or, you know, whatever it might be. Canvas prints, but whatever it is, we're going to talk about t-shirts. We're going to talk about 75,000. I think we should just get right into it and start talking about something, Mark. So how many, just talk about shirts. How many shirts do you have to sell? What are you going to sell them for?
Well, first of all, you know, I mean, we talk about this all the time. We do surveys in our Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. We've got almost 11,000 members in there. We've got, I don't know, a couple of 100,000 people in our database, you know, for Cold Essie and Coleman and Company. We do surveys there. And over the years, we've identified that many of our digital printing customers, for example, profit about $12 a shirt. You know, and the way that works out is maybe you are, you know, you're using a digital heat FX transfer and you're using a decent quality shirt and your total cost on the end product is $8 and you're selling it for 20. You know, or maybe you're doing multi-placement vinyl with digital heat effects or with embroidery and, you know, your cost is up to, is up to $15 and you're selling it for 30. You know, but the average that people talk to us about when they answer the surveys is $12 in profit a shirt.
Yeah. And what's interesting also is it's not only I've done the math a lot of different ways. It's not only the average, but it's also, the median and the mean as well.
Yeah.
So
the largest number of people are making.
Yeah. So the largest number of people are saying that they are doing about that.
Yep.
The middle number of people are kind of doing that and the conglomerate average are doing that. So it's very, very realistic number. You are very, very likely to be in this scenario. Now that doesn't mean everybody is, but we're going to talk about a very common number.
Right. And so let's just go, you know, if you did the simple math, which was $75,000 divided by $12 in profit, then you would need to sell 6,250 shirts in a year to make that amount of profit. Now, the math is different if you are looking at the revenues or the sale price. Remember, I pointed out that we're going to be talking about profit, which is not quite, but closer to your take-home pay. You know, where 75,000, if that was your salary, you know, that would be the retail of what you're selling your time for. So if you were selling your time for, if you were selling shirts for $20 a piece, 75,000 divided by $20 would be 3,750 shirts. So that would be like you're taking in $75,000 a year total. That's how many shirts you would have to sell. Want to point out again, we're talking about the profit,
not the gross profit,
right? Not the revenue.
So to state that differently, if we're talking about $20 t-shirts times, I'm just going to say 6,000 to keep it simple. It's 120 something thousand dollars in revenue.
Yeah.
$130,000 in revenue, whatever the math exactly works out to. And what you're taking back in profit on that is the 75,000 maybe.
Yeah. It kind of goes to the question, you know, how much money do you want to make? Well, I'm making $75,000 now. Okay, that's great. That's not what's in your bank, right? Uncle Sam takes some money off the top, right? Your insurance, you know, all that stuff. You don't, if you make $75,000 a year, you don't put that in the bank. So that's why we figured we'd go for $75,000 in profit.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. Okay. So dive deeper.
Continue to do some math there. If you divide that by 365 days a year, then you're making a little over 17 shirts a day. That's what you have to sell, 17 shirts a day. And if you decide to give yourself a vacation for 2 weeks in a year, which seems sad, but very common, Then you got to make 25 shirts a day. So a regular life, an 8-hour, you've bought yourself a job by going into the custom t-shirt business. You know, you need to sell, make, and deliver about 25 shirts a day to get to that $75,000 happy mark.
Yep. Yep. And I like that concept. Because we had put notes in there, 17 shirts a day. And then I said, I don't want to work 365 days a year.
Yeah.
So we just redo the math, 2-week vacation, 5 days a week. So you have weekends off or whatever, your Tuesdays off, Monday and Tuesday off, Sunday, Monday off. And you have a couple weeks that you take completely off and you're making 25 shirts a day.
Yeah.
So then that made me think of, is making 25 shirts a day realistic?
Okay.
That's making 25 shirts because that is clearly not hard to do. And when I say make, it? Customize. I mean, unless you're hand painting them.
Okay.
You know, but if you're using some sort of technology, a DTG printer, how many prints can you do on a DTG printer in an hour?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew. So let's say you're going to spend about, on a white shirt, maybe 4 minutes.
Okay. 4 minutes. So what does that come out to?
15 shirts.
Yeah. Dozen, 15 an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Call it 15 or 20 shirts an hour.
15 to 20 shirts an hour. Okay. Yeah. Digital heat effects, probably close to that, maybe a bit more, depending on the size of your image and how many times you have to marry, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Close to that. Vinyl, all of them are probably pretty close to that number.
Yeah.
Give or take. It all depends, right? So I'm not going to try to, this left chest logo here, I do way more of these. I'm pointing to my shirt if you're not watching.
Right.
I can do way more of these per hour than a giant print on a whole full front of a t-shirt.
Right? Yeah. Again, tons of variables.
Too many variables.
Tons of variables.
But let's just say that 15, 20, up to 30-ish in that range is realistic for almost no matter what you do.
Yep.
From what we have to offer. So 25 shirts a day then is obviously very realistic.
Yeah.
Because you could have
2 hours of production time.
2 hours of production time. Right. And of course, roughly, you know. So now you've got 2 hours of production time. So now we're very realistic that if I'm going to work a full-time job and I'm going to make $5,000 in profit a year, I need to dedicate a couple hours a day to production.
So I mean, think about that this way. This is the illusionary math. This is the optimal math, you know, is that 2 hours a day, that's 10 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you had just the phone was ringing and you didn't have to do anything, and you didn't have to stop for anything else, if all you had to do was make the shirts, 2 hours a week, you're at 75. I mean, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, you're at $75,000 a year in profit, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the production now, but you've got to sell shirts.
You do.
You've got to talk to people.
Yes.
Right. You've got to take orders. So you have to physically make the sales.
Yeah.
Right. So, so when we looked at this, we just kind of quartered out your day. So quarter of the day, 8 hours. Let's pretend like we can do this in 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of this, of speaking about this. So production 2 hours, and we could put 2 hours into sales.
Yep.
Right. So this would be the conversation leading to somebody being interested, the conversation of them saying yes and you taking the order, the conversation and taking the payment, delivery and saying thank you.
Okay.
For all these orders, 2 hours, I think is pretty realistic that if somebody has a 25 shirt order, you could probably spend 2 hours talking to this customer, wooing them, selling them, closing them, taking payment. Okay.
I'll give it to you. I think it's high.
Yeah, it's high, but we have to pick a number.
Yeah. Got to pick a number.
You got to pick a number, right? And this isn't one customer, by the way.
Right.
You might have three customers who buy whatever 25 divided by 3 is.
Yeah, or you could talk to 15 customers and only those 3 customers buy.
Yes. Then, so that's kind of where part of it leads into the realistic. You're going to have customer complaints. You're going to have customer service issues. You're going to have things. You're going to spend a quarter of your day selling slash dealing customer with service. Yeah, selling and customer service. All right. Now, I think marketing is just as important as selling.
I do too, and I gotta say this is I think that if you are doing 2 hours a day of marketing, you're selling a crap load more t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no one is doing that. No one that starts a custom t-shirt business really is doing 10 hours a week of marketing activities. You know, but aspirationally, since we would love for you to do that. And it would greatly contribute to your long-term success. I like the idea that it's in there.
Yeah. And also we can factor in a lot of different things that you might not consider as marketing activities that you should do if you're new in business. And which would be, participating in Facebook groups.
Yep.
Attending any type of, Chamber of Commerce events or lunches or Zoom meetings or online chats or whatever might be happening in your area, attending a party you wouldn't have gone to or participating in an activity online you wouldn't have done before, but you're doing it to kind of network and market, you know?
Yeah. So, and the difference between that is sales is with marketing, you're not necessarily talking to somebody about a specific order. Or trying to get a specific order. You know, sales would be, I'm in my car and I'm calling on all of the hair salons in my city to try to get them to buy something.
Yes, and marketing might be writing an article about how to pick and order customized apparel for a hair salon. So when somebody Google searches your city searching for hair salon, customization stuff, they find you.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got 2 hours in production, 2 hours in sales, 2 hours in marketing. And then the last one we put is 2 hours in paperwork.
Right. And there is possibly 2 hours in paperwork.
Well, you got to order supplies, order t-shirts, type up invoices, right? Answer some emails. Some paperwork could be customer service related.
Yeah.
Maybe do something for Uncle Sam, some taxes.
I feel like we need, I feel like it's time in 2021 to start leaving the word type behind.
Well, what do you do then?
I think you enter them in.
Enter.
You
know, enter.
Like you just said it, for some reason, I pictured myself on a typewriter in high school.
Yeah.
You know, or using a little whiteout liquid.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot of paperwork, air quotes. You're not using paper.
You might not be using very much paper
or a typewriter.
Electronic work.
Yes, you're doing administrative stuff.
Okay. All right. So we want to
administrative stuff.
And we want to say change paperwork to administrative things. Okay.
Yes.
You know what? You sold me on it.
Okay. Good.
I'm on board.
Now let's include figuring out your taxes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, working with an accountant, working with a bookkeeper. Anything having to do with QuickBooks or FreshBooks or whatever you're using, just the, you know, the parts to be good at in a business or to devote yourself to in a business are getting your art down, which is, you know, learning how to do the production, learning how to do, you know, the sales, learning how to do the marketing and getting really good at all of the stuff that it takes to run an actual business. Licensing, taxes, permits, along with all of the day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that you've got 2 hours set aside for that.
Yeah. So, and I think 2 hours is fair for administrative work. If you're doing this by yourself, you got to do everything, right? So you've got to do administrative work, marketing, sales, and production. So you're doing kind of all of it. And if you're going to do 25 shirts a day, I think that it's hyper realistic to spend all your time doing this. And I would also say that it's important to say that custom apparel, custom t-shirts is a snowball business.
Okay.
So in your first year, you might spend all of this time just to make 25 shirts a day, right? So we're talking how to get started making $75,000, right?
Yeah, you won't do that your first month. You know, you're not gonna...
Well, yeah, you're not going to do it your first month, and you're also not going to do that in 4 years.
Right.
Because all of that marketing and sales is cumulative time. So where you're getting more referral orders, so yeah, you're spending, having to spend less time selling those people, but you're still selling maybe that 25% of your time anyway. So you get orders that just fall in your lap, referrals, repeats, and then you have new orders.
Crazy.
You have new orders coming through. So the 75,000 spent, well, I'm going to spend two hours selling, 2 hours marketing, and I'm only going to make 75,000. I mean, maybe year one or year two, but if you're doing that consistently, this 25, 25, 25, and 25 of those tasks are going to change over time. We're only picking numbers to pick numbers, but this is very realistic in being able to do any of this stuff. It only takes 2 hours to make 25 things. We can agree on that.
That's
if
true.
You spend 2 hours a day driving and showing up to places or selling on the phone or whatever it is, you can sell 25 shirts a day.
You're a winner.
Literally. Yeah, not literally. You might sell one order of 200 shirts and then sell none the rest of the week, you know? But the same thing with marketing. If you're writing articles and participating in online forums every day for a couple hours, you will get customers. And then of course paperwork. You're going to have to spend 25% of your time doing administrative work.
So let's break it down. I think, you know, and I think everyone out there understands that, you know, again, if your goals are flexible, if they're more modest, or if they're more modest, it's going to be easier. You just start fractioning out that time that we just talked about, right? If you're if your goal is half of $75,000 a year, divide everything by two. Now, if your goal is twice of $75,000 a year, then you're probably going to have to do a little bit more engineering here to get to those numbers, because you've got to look at your production time and your marketing time and your paperwork time differently. Some of those will increase, some of them may stay the same, or similarly, you know, you might need to spend more time on marketing, less time on sales, or you might need to just devote yourself for production and hire somebody else to do everything else.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too. You know, if you're not doing it alone, then that's a big part of it too. So if you're a husband wife combo and you're both willing to dedicate more hours than this or less hours than this combined, you know, all the math can work out.
Yeah.
So maybe we break down some of these categories. How do you get to 25 shirts a day? Cause we talked about it arbitrarily in this splitting up your time into four different categories.
Right.
So let's break some of those down. And here is your pen and paper ideas of realistically how folks who are our customers, and folks who are not our customers that are in different lines of business, this is how they do marketing.
Because everyone is in that's in custom t-shirt business is one of our customers.
Okay. Well, I was merely referring to people who do other things.
I get it. We have a lot of customers that do other things now too. So we're trying to remind ourselves of that all the time.
So this could be the same if you detail cars for a living, or if you do lawn maintenance or anything like that. You know,
if you sell signs.
If you sell stickers, there's a million different things this works for. But today we're talking about 25 shirts. So
I love that you put marketing down first in our notes.
Thanks.
I love that. I mean, because that's basically what we do. So I do think it's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that if you don't mind, I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Sure. So the basic things that you will do in marketing are going to be the ways that you get free business without having to sell. And they're not really complicated. So in the scheme of everything that you're going to do, I would sit down and do some of the basic marketing things first and then let those live in the universe. And we'll talk about some of those because they live there. And one day the phone's going to ring and somebody's going to see one of the marketing things you did, and you're going to get money while you're out there selling. While you're producing. So I think it's good to kind of focus on this idea first.
I like it. It happens to cold Desi all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like we will get leads on a monthly basis for things that we haven't sold in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody finds a random article or post or social media event that we did, or a webinar recording or something like that, about, you know, a 75 head embroidery machine, or some, you know, short-lived supply product, you know, that the company went out of business, something like that. You know, people find that and they still call us wanting to buy it. And that's a response to work that we did years ago.
And so, which made me think I'm changing the order of what we wrote for marketing.
Okay.
All right. So because of what I had said and what I thought of. So the first thing is for marketing, and is just get your Google and Facebook and Bing stuff all set up so people can find you online.
Google My Business. We've done it. I've done at least one podcast about that.
Yeah. We have a podcast, How to Get Found on Google.
Yeah,
pretty sure. We have got some social media podcasts. Some of them are new, some are old. Listen to those. That something you do. So this is how you're going to sell 25 shirts a day. How you're going to make 75,000. First step, get yourself on Google, Facebook, and Bing. So if somebody jumps on their phone and searches for custom t-shirt near me, you'll be there, because you are theoretically, there's not a custom t-shirt person that lives immediately next door to you. Probably not. There's probably a range where you are the closest person to make custom t-shirts for a group of people.
Yeah.
Right. So they're going to search custom t-shirts near me, and you are literally the closest one. So boom, you got to do that first. I'm going to change the orders a little bit again, but the second one I want to say here is, join some groups and clubs. Right.
Yeah. So, online or in the real world?
Both. I mean, yeah, I put it all together. So, join a chamber of commerce, a small business association, a small business luncheon group, a Saturday morning Zoom chat for small business owners.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to go farther. Honestly, join anything.
Join anything. These are just random ideas, that, but yeah, join anything.
Yeah. If you stand up in the middle of a bus station and say, I make custom t-shirts for a living, people will walk up to you with money. this is what I'm saying is, like, I was like, I joined a podcast group, you know, Mark Veal and I went to, you know, a couple of these events in Orlando, and they've got a local one here in Tampa. I joined that, and I've referred two or three of those podcasters to people that make custom t-shirts. Why? Because they ask, what do you do? Oh, I sell equipment that makes custom t-shirts. Says, cool. I'd like to order some. Well, I don't make them.
Yeah.
You guys make them though. You know, so really, Chamber of Commerce, bus station attendance association, you know, wherever you can get into a group of more than 100 people, I think you'll be good.
Yeah, the school my daughter goes to, they have like a dad's club.
Okay.
And it's just, there's an email list, and they do some little Zoom chats. I think they used to do breakfasts. They probably will again one day. I don't know. And it was just a bunch of dads, and they were just talking about how to make their kids' school life better. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, one of the things I'm always curious about, and maybe it comes from having a background in sales or maybe not, I'm curious. I find that what somebody does for a living is a great way to have conversation. I find it's telling and interesting. And it also kind of lets me know a little bit of an insight of what kind of conversation I can have with this person.
Right.
Right. So, you know, are they a plumber or an investment banker, you know? And then, okay, here's some things I know I can talk about. So whenever you're in any of these groups, I'm going to find out what people do. I start by asking what they do, and then I tell them what I do. And then
can I give you another random example that happened to me today?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I have a marketing client.
Okay.
In the boating industry, in the marine industry. I help him out with his website and things like that. I went to a chiropractor today. And, you know, we're talking, we're talking while I'm getting my head spun around. And, how's it going? How's your business? It's great. How's yours? I'm like, oh, good. You know, this client of mine does this and they're doing great. And so, oh, really? My husband, who is also a chiropractor, installs marine electronics on the weekends for boats, GPSs, and things like that. Completely random example. This was a group of one.
Yeah.
And all I did was say what I did. And it inspired some kind of business-related reaction.
Yeah.
And what I do is not nearly as interesting as making custom t-shirts.
Always. I joined a group chat with some old college friends. It's like dozen guys in there. So I made a Facebook comment in a group. Some of the guys recognized me, said, "Oh my gosh, we haven't talked to you in forever. We just started a group chat, join us." So I said, "Sure, here's my phone number." I joined in. I'm in there for like, so they start off, "Hey, tell us what you're doing." I say what I'm doing. Immediately get a direct message from one of the guys. "Actually, I have a custom card business where we do card swapping, baseball card swap business.
Okay.
I get a bunch of t-shirts and hats made. I was going to order them online, but now that I know you do it, how much would it cost?" And I get that all that everyone thinks nobody can get past, by the way, this idea that that we sell equipment.
Right.
This is like it's an impossible thing. Like nobody understands that there are people who sell things that don't make them.
Yes.
That don't make the finished product. Right. So it's like I couldn't imagine trying to explain to somebody if I worked for a company that made like motherboards for AC units or something like
that. Oh yeah, no. So
they'd be like, "Oh, I need my air conditioning unit fixed. Can you come by my house?" Like, I just imagine it would bend.
No, can't.
We're going really far off here. But
I know we should get back to marketing.
The point was, the idea. Join clubs, talk to people about it, and you're going to get business that way. Yeah. Next is you're going to get customers. How do you market to them? You upsell them. There's a little bit of sales, but it's a little bit of marketing too, right? You do an order, you throw a free koozie in there and stick a card in there. You can buy these for X many bucks a piece, you know?
You're making sure that you let people know, even the ones in the buying process, all the other great things that you do.
Yep. And you email them to remind them that you're around.
Yep.
You do like mass emails, let everybody know, "Hey, I got this new shirt in, I got this new idea," or whatever it might be. So upselling customers, let them know what you do. Sell through eBay and Etsy.
Yeah.
But this is a marketing thing. It's a little more passive. You'll put an ad online, assuming you have a good idea of something somebody would want to buy.
Yeah.
A cool fishing shirt idea or a cool car.
Noodling shirt.
Maybe you're a good artist and create a piece of art that you've done, and then you're going to just put it on eBay and Etsy. Maybe people will buy it. So that's something. I think the probably the most important one that somehow ended up in the middle of the list, you have to make sure that you have a niche market to sell to.
Oh yeah. Listen to the 100 of the 150 podcast episodes we've done so far to learn more about picking niche markets. Basically, you got to pick somebody to sell to.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell to everybody. You know, you got to pick who you're going to sell to.
Pick a specific group of people to sell to. It could be cheerleaders, it could be baseball people, it could be small business owners, it could be sports fanatics, whatever it might be.
Have a specialty.
Yeah, have a specialty. That's going to help you learn to speak a language. It'll help you to sell, and it'll help you get that 25 shirts, honestly, because you're going to kind of focus. All your emails can sound the same. All your marketing can sound the same. All your sales pitches can sound the same. You get to say cool things when you sell and market.
And that kind of leads in, are we going to do sales next?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. I think this is marketing, but you had done some information, a study, and you said that of the survey asked, 90% of our customers who have t-shirt businesses make almost all of their money through word of mouth sales.
Yeah.
So I think,
I used to do classes on marketing when we would hold trade shows at Cold Essie.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would do that, and I'd have a room full of apparel decorators that were in the business, and I'd ask them where they got their customers. 9 out of 10 of them would say word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's it's a bit of sales and marketing, but I kind of tied it to, you know, asking for referrals.
Yeah.
Ask for referrals, make sure people know that, to tell other people about you, ask them if there's anyone else that might know. So of your daily activities, if you're spending 25% of your time, making sure you're online and good, interacting in different groups, letting your customers know what you do, maybe putting some random items for sale online, eBay, Etsy, every once in a while until you find some gold ones, working on your niche market, who you're going to sell to, and making sure you're getting referrals and you have a way for people to refer business to you. And you're thinking about that. If you're spending 25% of your time and doing this, you're going to reach your goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's very true.
So now we can talk about sales.
Okay, good. because I had a thought, you know, niche markets make sales easier. Because imagine the conversation that if you are, you know, if part of your marketing, if your niche market is fisher people, mm-hmm. okay, fishermen and women, people that fish, people that boat. If this is your niche market, then imagine how much easier the conversation is if you go from one, if you're talking to one company that sells fishing supplies about shirts, to another company that sells boating supplies about shirts. Imagine how easy that conversation is, because you can say things like, you know, one of my biggest customers is in the next city over and they do custom fishing rods. I do shirts for them. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, so you immediately have something to talk about and it's a simple conversation versus I just got off the phone with Big John from Big John's Fish Camp. And now I'm talking to Shirley's dance studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You're not going to go, hey, I just got off the phone with Big John and I got him some Forple XL t-shirts. You know, can we talk? Do you want to talk about rhinestone dance shoes now?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a hard transition. So, you know, the sales part starts with that marketing part. Mm-hmm. Because you're kind of figuring out what you want to say and who you want to say it to in marketing. And then sales, you're just figuring out ways to get in front of people to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And speaking about the niches and stuff, since you mentioned it, you know, you can have more than one, you know, so you might sell to small business owners without necessarily a massive niche, just businesses that are, you know, less than 10 people and restaurants.
Yeah, you can't have 10. You can't have 10 niche ones.
You don't want to try, but you can have a couple. You can have a couple faces you wear, especially as opportunities come knocking on your door. So you see an opportunity to sell in cheer and dance, but you also see an opportunity to sell in restaurants in your area. Yeah. So those are the two things that you work on. Okay. So now Mark's kind of always said one of the best ways to sell t-shirts is you get in your car with some samples and some business cards and you walk around and give them to people, right?
You know, I think it's I don't know if it's the best way,
okay,
but it's certainly a way that you can do something you can do right now.
Okay, there we go. Take that back. It's an immediate way to get to have probably the highest potential of making some money today.
Get in the car for 2 hours, you're gonna get yeses or noes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you do it every day.
Yeah.
Days a week for 2 hours,
yep,
then you are going to sell something, and that plus your marketing, you're going to get to, you can sell 25 shirts a day.
Same with phone calls.
Yep. So phone calls are next. Yep. Soliciting people on the internet, cold emails, you know, as well, all of these things combined together, you know, you have to figure out what strategies work for you, where you live, what makes the most sense, you know, for you, in your area. And combining all these things together, reach out and touch someone. That's another quote. I think that was AT&T in the 90s.
I think it's some political figures that we've had over the past few years too. So we're not going to be able to edit that out. I'm sorry. Okay. and again, like, this is where the niche market thing comes in handy. If you are making phone calls, if you're talking to people, you know, if you're wearing what you do, then it's easier if you call a hair salon or you visit a hair salon about custom aprons and t-shirts for the people that work there. If you can say, if you go to all the hair salons, they all speak the same language. You can say, I was just over at Bonnie's hair salon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we're going to do some business. I thought you might be interested too.
Yeah. And I would carry around a pair of scissors and wear an apron and then walk into hair salons.
Yes. Not good to maybe head shears. I think you've got head shears.
Machete. Yeah.
Machete. I mean, I do that anyway, but sure, I could wear an apron too.
So back to reality. You get in your car and you sell in person. You hand out some samples. You talk to people about what you do. You share what you do. You make some phone calls. You let people know what you do. You let them know you're in the area, specifically if you're working with a niche market. You call every restaurant and you ask to speak to the manager and say, hey, I'm a local t-shirt shop, by the way.
Yeah.
I can do this and this. If I can ever help you, maybe I can email you my information. You know, these are all, maybe I can stop by and come by and have lunch one day and tell you about what I do, you know, all these.
And if this all terrifies you, then that's okay. It's very common. We've got podcasts to help.
Yeah. You
know,
yeah.
And it could
all be light too, right? You know, just go out to lunch, a bunch. And then while you're there, just find out the person who looks like they're in charge and hand them your business card and run away.
Throw your business card at them.
So, but all that stuff's, you know, in seriousness, you get used to it too. So you just reach out and touch people, whether it's physically or electronically, you know, get out there and make sure you talk to people, socialize. That's another part of selling, you know, and then asking for business. All right. So we talked about it. If you're in a bus station and you just stand up and say you make custom t-shirts, somebody will walk up to you and ask you about it. Right. And then you could just ask for that business. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes we do custom t-shirts. Great. I'd love to do them for you. Yeah, Let's talk about it. Let's write it up. You know, so make sure you ask for business from people, or just ask them, hey, you know, you're at a birthday party for a kid. You run into a dad. What do you do? Oh, we own a landscaping companies. Okay. I should do your t-shirts for you then. We're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just met. Our kids are best friends. We should be best friends. Let me do your t-shirts. Yeah.
You know, your child told me
yes.
that he hates the t-shirts you wear now. All right.
Sales is a bit of marketing too, but just make sure people know what you do. There's no reason if you're talking to somebody and you just met them and you don't know, or whatever it is, that everybody shouldn't just know what you do, especially as you're meeting people. If you have an opportunity to talk to a stranger for a few minutes, ask them what they do, tell them what you do.
You should only wear custom t-shirts that say I make custom t-shirts.
Okay.
Ask me about custom t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to 75K, buy a custom t-shirt.
Have a name of a business that explains what you do. See, our name is Coldesi on purpose because I don't want people to ask me to make us shirts. but if we did make shirts, I would say Coldesi custom tees, right?
Yeah.
Under my logo, on my shirt, custom tees and embroidery. You know, that doesn't have to be your business name, but put it somewhere on your shirt. Oh, I just kicked my laptop. Sorry for the earthquake. Wear what you do, say what you do, and that'll help you sell. So now we've got marketing and sales down. If you're doing this stuff for 50% of your time, all the activities we talked about, there's no doubt you can get to 25 shirts a day.
Yeah.
No doubt. Because so many people don't do this for 50% of their time and get there.
Yeah.
So many people don't. They fall into it. They accidentally get sales. So many of them do.
Happens all the time.
All the time. You know, they talk to somebody at a party. Oh yeah, my dad actually owns this company. Oh really? Yeah, I should introduce you. Next thing, can you do us 100 shirts a week?
Yeah.
Whoa, what just happened? I just started. You know, and that we hear those stories all the time. So a lot of people just fall into it. So if you're spending 50% of your time doing the sales and marketing, you're going to get to 75K. But now you actually have to make some things and handle some administrative stuff. So
right, because you're going to have to not just sell the 25 shirts, you've got to make them.
You have to fulfill. So next we have we can do production next. I think it makes sense. So production. So here are some tips on how to produce to actually make this work, right? So the first one I said is actually make your room, your production space work for you.
Yeah.
Think about where you're putting things. Think about where your heat press is and where your printer is. Think about where you're keeping your shirts, where they're going to be, where they're going to start, where they're going to finish, and make it kind of be comfortable. Don't look around chicken with your head cut off, making stuff, make a nice production environment for yourself.
If you don't do that, then you'll be annoyed a lot and you won't really be able to identify the reason.
Yes.
You know, it's really just like, I find that, you know, when we're doing demonstrations and things like that, and after we've been working on a video or something for 25 minutes, I finally pull the table from the other side of the room next to the printer. I've been walking back and forth to get blank t-shirts or, you know, to put stuff down or to peel transfers to the other side of the room. Why? No reason.
Yeah.
You know, but I just get annoyed and then, oh, okay, we need to rearrange this because we're going to be doing this for an hour.
Yep.
So same thing in your production life at home.
Yeah, we had one of our support technicians said that he had a gentleman that was struggling making t-shirts. And when they got on video to video chat, his heat press was backed up all the way in the corner of a room. So he didn't have room to work. Didn't have room to bang it in. He said, flip your heat press around and get it facing where you have space. And immediately he was doing things better. He had the room to breathe, the room to work. He wasn't stuck in a hot corner. So have your space work for you. Practice makes perfect. Keep going forward. Don't give up. Keep trying. That you're never going to get to making 25 shirts a day if you say it's too hard, I can't do it.
And you'll never get there, frankly, if you don't make, you know, a certain number of mistakes every day or every week.
Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to make 26 or 28 or 30 shirts a day to sell 25 because you're going to make
mistakes. Yeah, you will.
I promise you, no matter who you are, there is somebody less skilled, less measurably intelligent, who has less life skills than you, who is doing this.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be any magical person to be able to get to that 25 shirts a day.
Right.
But if you practice and you don't give up, you'll do it. So practice makes perfect, and don't give up is the next one. Don't give up on the marketing. Don't give up on the sales. But also don't give up on the production, because so many people, they just give up. It's not too hard to do. I can run all the machines that we sell pretty much. I don't do any production. I spent a bit of time learning them, spent a bit of time practicing, spent a bit of time throwing shirts away, and now I can run them all. None of them are that hard to do. I just didn't give up because I knew it was my job to know how to do it and demonstrate them and show people how to do it. So I learned.
I like it.
Another production thing is stop chasing crazy ideas and focus on things you can do.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? All day, I'm on Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, and probably some folks listening to this, trying to figure out how to make something that you can't make with what you own.
I love that. You're right.
The hardest thing in the world, right? When they've got blank t-shirts sitting there, they've got transfer sitting there, just waiting to be put together. And they're trying to figure out how to put a transfer on like a 500-pound pottery thing that's outside that's cemented to the ground, and they're trying to figure out how to get their heat press out there to put something on it. Just say no to that and do something you can make some money with. Stop chasing all your crazy ideas. That's what happens in production, is somebody wants to try to do something and they will spend their 25% of time that they were going to actually make something figuring out something that they couldn't do.
You'll blow that 2 hours.
Blew your 2 hours. You don't have time. Now you have to go do your administrative work. You blew your 2 hours. You didn't produce anything. You didn't make 25 shirts. You didn't sell 25 shirts. You're 25 shirts less away from getting to $75,000 a year.
Yes. That is a great, that's a great way to put it. Hey, you know what? Make t-shirts. Make t-shirts the way that you're taught in training to make t-shirts. Use the t-shirts that you're taught in training to use and do it the way that you're taught in training to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have the formula. You know, it's not quite like this, right? I'm exaggerating.
Okay.
But you walk into a McDonald's anywhere in the country, you get the same burger.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So, yeah. You know, because everybody does things the same way, the 13 millionth 16-year-old kid is not working out how to make it a little better. You know, trying it a new way. You just go ahead and like, in order to do this kind of production, let's say you're not doing it for 5 days, you just need to do 125 shirts in a day. You know, you need to do the process. So do what you practiced, make what you practiced, sell what you practiced.
So, but what if you can save like 10 cents a shirt?
If you can save 10 cents a shirt, that's completely different. You should do it the way you've always done it instead.
So let me tell you why. How many shirts do you have to make?
Did you get another call? Somebody was shopping for cheaper thread.
Yes, definitely. So you figured out a way to cut your transfers to save 10 cents a shirt, or buy thread that's like a dollar cheaper a cone. How many shirts do you have to make 75,000 based on this study?
What was it, 3,600?
6,250 times 10 cents.
Yeah.
$625.
Yep.
So you can spend all this time cutting corners to make $75,000 or $75,625.
Right.
Worry about that $625. Worry about it when it turns into $6,000. Worry about it when you're doing 100+ shirts a day and you're trying to figure out how you can afford to buy another printer this year, right? Without selling more, and you start looking at your costs. If you could save 10 cents a shirt, who cares? It's $600. If somebody says to me, you made $75,000, the next person says, oh, I made $75,625. you're going to get a middle finger. And that's it, because nobody cares about that difference. It doesn't change your life.
Listen, if you've listened to the podcast before, you can always recognize Mark Vila and I both have these pet peeves that we mention over and over again. And as a matter of fact, one thing I'm going to add to it, because it kind of bridges between production and administration or paperwork, is make it a habit not to overpromise your delivery date.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. It's a good tip.
You know, because this is part of your production scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm going to make a 50 shirt order, you know, I need to have the 50 shirts. I need to order the 50 shirts. I need to get them in. I need to get them prepped. I need to put them. Maybe I have to do these 20 shirts first, you know, or this 100 shirts first. You know, don't get into the situation where, okay, I have 2 hours free tomorrow and I have an order of 25 shirts. I need to do them tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
because I told the guy I was available tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, don't get into that trap. You've got to, you know, you've got to measure your time out.
Because you're spending 25% of your time marketing and 25% of your time administrative work and 25% selling and 25% doing production in this scenario. And so it's important in your production that you are not going to quit doing all those other things so you can deliver shirts, because then you're going to end up in a very wavy cycle for your business. You get frustrated. You're rich, broke, frustrated. You never see the end in sight of this being visible. So you've got to manage that time. That's part of production. Managing
good
time
way to put it.
Over promising and under delivering the other way around. Whatever the good one is, do that. For production, when we're talking, this is combining some selling and some marketing, but if you're upselling, that's a great idea. If you can upsell to do things in the same piece of apparel, so add a logo on the sleeve on the right for a couple more bucks, and now you've got the same shirt, so you've got more money and less shirts to make.
Yeah.
Now, you can squeeze in those little logos on the bottom of your transfer paper, or you know, do a ton of them on a bunch of piece of vinyl and do it quickly. Yeah. So
you could do a 2-position print and add $5 or $10 to the price of the shirt, and it takes you a little bit more time, not a lot more time.
Yeah,
and definitely things you can do in production.
If they ask for front, offer front and back for a little bit more. They could just say no, you know. So it's part of sales, but it's part of production too. because it's nice to put a shirt on, do the front, flip it over, do the back, and now you've done one shirt worth more money. You had to deal with less blanks, less folding, less boxing. So yeah. You're upselling in a production friendly way is a way to think about that. Sell some things that are easy to do. This goes back to what you said, Mark, like make some t-shirts the right way, you know, or do some can coolers or some mugs, you know, or yeah. do some things that are easy to do that, you know, how to do it. Don't chase a crazy thing, especially in the beginning when you're trying to get to that 75. Don't chase crazy things that are hard, that are like level 10 hard things to do. Do things that are realistic, and people still want that stuff. People still want pictures. They still want mugs. You know,
pictures of kids, pictures of somebody's kid or their dog on anything. They'll buy it.
So there's your four things to do. And these are all some realistic ways to help to get you to that 75,000. And I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
We need to talk about administration and paperwork a little
bit.
We need
to talk about administration. Oh my gosh. It's because you renamed it paperwork.
So this is kind of a good way to end, because it's everybody's least favorite thing to pay attention to. And that's the money and the details of running your business.
Yep.
Right. So if you're going to get to $75,000 in profit a year, are you good with money and with figures and with accounting? Not a lot of people are. You can probably do it or do a lot of it, but if you're going to get to this goal and if you're going to spend this time, then you should probably evaluate whether or not you want to do just the bills. Do you want to do all the invoices? Do you want to do the packing and shipping? Do you want to hire a CPA?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you want to hire a bookkeeper?
Yeah. And if you want to hire somebody to do that, you know, it doesn't mean a full-time person. There's tons of freelancers. You're only selling 25 shirts a day. You don't need a ton of work. So it might be a handful of hours a week that you just, you know, you just email somebody a bunch of things and they do them for you.
Yeah.
You can build that into the cost of your shirts, make sure it's profitable enough to get to your goal. Or you can learn how to do it yourself if you're capable of doing those things. You can't do everything all the time great. It's okay. Can't let it pile up either.
Oh, man. You cannot realize at the end of the year that you have to pay taxes on the money that you earned.
Yeah. And you haven't written up any formal invoices.
And that you forgot, there's air quotes, to get permission from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to use their logo.
Yeah, okay.
you know what I mean? Like, you've got to get the insurance, you know, get the money in order, figure out your bank accounts, you know, do all that stuff up front so you can keep this paperwork down to 2 hours.
Yep. And if you don't let it pile up, it's easy. I think I've talked about it before and we've talked about it before. Like, I use a budgeting app.
Yep.
And if I go in there like every day for like 5 minutes or less, I'm done. Entering the transactions I needed to do, done. When I skip it for like 4 days, now it's like a 35 minute project.
Right.
Got to get in
there.
I
like that. That's a good analogy. That
stuff. Now it's a chore. You know, I don't do it that day because I'm too busy. Now I'm doing it Sunday. So now Sunday morning I'm waking up and I spend an hour doing it because it's piled up. And somehow when you let work pile up, it actually can take longer to do than if you do it in
bits. It's true.
It's just true. The way that things happen. So, don't let it pile up. And as you mentioned, do things legally. That's how you're going to get to that money. And that's how you're going to keep it. Like you said, the bucks thing is a good thing. You know, don't try to do things. Don't listen to anybody that tells you you can change a logo by 10% and you can sell it.
Yeah.
That's just the worst piece of advice that's been repeated.
I like this one for the end, and that's to know your numbers.
Know your numbers.
And make that, and if that's a daily activity, it's going to be a huge win for your business and help you get to that 75K. Because let's say that, you know, let's say you don't need to spend 2 hours a day on your on the administrative part of the business. You only need to spend an hour. Spend that other hour tearing apart your previous orders and figuring out, okay, this is what I did well. This is what I didn't do well. Here's how I could have made more money. I realized for the past 2 months, I haven't upsold anything. you know, or look at how much money I made on this one job just because I sold them a logo on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
If I do more of that, I can, you know, I can do production 15 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, knowing your numbers means not just your, and not just the administrative side of things, taxes, payroll, insurance, rent, stuff like that. It also means, you know, the jobs that you do, and how much more money you can make out of those.
Yeah, so it definitely falls into that administrative. You should spend time every day, every week, looking over orders that you've done, that you plan on doing, how things look, the profile of your customers. You know, what are some of their profiles? You know, what's their income bracket? What do they do for a living? What industry are they in? How did you get their business? You know, consider that. If you say you got it through a referral, how did you get it through a referral? Was it from a random customer? Was it from someone you met at a birthday party? Was it from the same customer that keeps referring people to you? You know?
Yeah.
So if you learn those things, it's going to help to get you better at everything else, you know, from production, because you can look at how long it produced you to took each order, time that, look at it. And then you can start doing some math on why this order takes so long. Oh, yeah. This was the one where the customer asked for a special shirt. So I bought one somewhere off the internet, and those shirts were a bear to deal with. It took me 5 hours to do something that should have taken me 2. I wonder if a customer asks me next time to use a special shirt, if I could just let them know what I have and why it's great. And a lot of people would just be surprised to say yes. So
that's good. All right.
So remember, to get to 75K, kind of the final notes we have here. You wrote this, Mark. Leverage your social network to build a business that you control.
Yeah.
You wrote that. I think it summarizes a lot, right? So it summarizes, like, you're in control of all this stuff. You can use your social network for referrals. You can get business locally. You can get business online, you know, so utilize what you have, and you can get some money. The second one is work hard on sales and marketing. Like, don't just sit there. If the phone's not ringing, do something to help make it ring that day or another day.
Yeah. Make it a part of that. Make it that 25% of what you devote your business to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your time to.
Get production down to a science.
Yeah.
Figure out how fast, long it took you to do something. Look at it again in a different way. What if I notice that I keep tripping over this cord. What if I move this around this way? You know, I notice my back hurts. What if I got a stool? You know, what if I got to raise this table, lower this table, you know, things like that. Get it down to a something. And then do the paperwork right and know your numbers.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that all these things are, this is stuff you can actually do.
Yeah. Everyone can do it.
I mean, we're not telling anybody they need an economics degree or become a CPA or go to, you know, become an industrial engineer to make custom t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're saying you can make a great living in the sweet spot of the American middle class. And you can do it by, you know, selling and making 25 shirts a day in any number of digital printing technologies.
And you don't have to know any big people in high places. You don't have to have a massive amount of money to get started. It's a little bit of elbow grease, a little bit of mind grease,
your
brain.
I feel like we could sell that.
A little bit of manpower, woman power, a little bit of work, and maybe a lot of work, you know. And maybe that's the other thing, you know, someone to say is that you're gonna have to work hard on all this stuff if you want to make it happen. If you want to make $75,000 a year, you're gonna have to put some work into it.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll be a little tired on some days, you know, and you're gonna put in more than that five days a week for sometimes.
I mean, it might be a deal breaker for some people, but you might have to give up Netflix a few hours a day.
Yes. If somebody says, I didn't get to make $75,000 a year, but they've said that they're running out of things to watch on Netflix, then you're not trying hard.
That wasn't really their goal.
That wasn't the goal, right? Yeah. So that's good stuff. Well, I'm glad we got this one wrapped up. episode 152, yeah. How to make $75,000 in custom tees. This is the basis of the thought process of how you can actually do it if you try and if you go for it.
I like it. Hey, listen, everybody, thanks very much for tuning in again to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And Mark Vila from Coldesi and ColemanandCompany.com. Check us out for supplies and blanks for your custom apparel business. We've added this year in 2021. If you're listening to this in 2021 in April, we've added probably 30,000 SKUs to the store. If you're listening to this like way in the future, I don't know how many of those SKUs are still there or how many more we have, but there's a lot. And there's a lot of stuff we sell. So go to ColemanandCompany.com, check it out, and there'll be some cool stuff for your business.
I love that. Hey, good luck making 75K and have a great business.